This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, which I realize I'm way behind on, and I'm going to get hot and heavy into basically now. I'm going to get to some of it now, Chris. There was other stuff we had to deal with. Anyway, before what we're going to get to this hour is birth rates. Why would I even care about that? Some lady's going to try to help me shop for the wife. Somebody thinks a quote is attributed to Stalin, which it's not. Taking out the Mexican drug cartels, all that. Does Elizabeth Warren know she's a dirty commie? And so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now back to Jasmine Crockett. She was on the news complaining about the media. Hey, we want all the people who watch traditional media, but people left.
Well, Kristen, no disrespect to
you. Yeah, whatever. Just remember. When communists complain about the media, and they do. Joe Biden used to do it all the time. If you guys would just report on how great the economy is, the left and the right both complain about media bias, and they're both being completely honest. The right looks at the American mainstream media, corporate journalism, CNN, ABC, New York Times, those things, and sees 95 at least percent bias against them. That's correct. It's biased against you. They hate you. They are your mortal enemies. That's correct. But the communist looks and sees actually the exact same thing. They see 95% bias against the right. They see that they have 95% of the media captured. But for the communist who has to build everything on outright lies, remember, your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in a world of make-believe. She believes 100% a bunch of things that have no truth to them whatsoever. The communist only keeps the sheep in the herd with lies. So when the communist sees a media that's only 95% biased for his cause, he's upset by it. A completely different mentality, a mentality of destruction and domination, the likes of which the right simply cannot relate to. And that's what you hear all the time. Let's move on and talk about other things. My man, Jesse, this guy says he disagrees with me on the birth rate stuff. The subject is birth rate nonsense. Listening to the 1211 show, what is with the focus on the ever increasing birth rate in the U.S. and around the world? What do we need more people for? What's the end goal? 500 million people in the U.S., a billion? For what? Packed in dirty 200-square-foot apartments? What about open spaces, clean water, air, forests, trash, pollution, so on and so forth? More bodies just for the sake of more bodies is what they call cancer. We can focus on being more efficient, cutting leeches, so on and so forth, says his name is Ben. So Ben disagrees with me on why we need more babies. Well, first, you have to have more babies to remain a country. You have to. Culture. What is America? Let's start here. What is America to you? Hopefully, it's a land of freedom. Now, we don't just use that word willy-nilly on this show. That word actually has meaning. It's not Maria Salazar.
You know, freedom is not free.
What does that mean, freedom? Freedom from government. That's what it means. You have the freedom right now to say Joe Biden is a moron. In countries around the world, if you said those words about their leader, you'd be arrested and or killed. Here in America, you can say that. You have the freedom. I am 2.5 feet away from a firearm. In fact, with Chris and Corey here, I'm probably at another 10 feet. I'm not far away from several firearms. We are armed to the freaking teeth. It looks like the militia in here because I have the freedom to do that. A country like Mexico, those poor people, we'll get to the cartels in a little bit. Those poor people are pillaged by whoever has the most guns because they don't have any. That's freedom. That's a unique freedom you have. Okay, so America has this unique culture. That's just a couple parts of it. Unique culture. But why would that be the culture 100 years from now? You see, we're about to celebrate number 250 as a country. Those values I just described, those were the values of our founding, and they're still hopefully your values today. Why? Because mom and dad passed those values down to you. And even if you didn't have a mom and a dad, you understand what I'm saying. The previous generation passed those values down to you. Those values don't go from the previous generation to the next generation just by osmosis. Either those values are taught and passed down, or those values get lost. Will America still value those exact same things 100 years from now? Well, I don't know. Are we going to be making enough new generations of Americans who we can pass that down to? That's just one great example of why birth rates matter so much. To another point you made about the clean air, a 200 square foot apartment. You understand how many people this world can hold? Overpopulated? That's something people in New York City say when everyone's stacked on top of each other. That's something you say when you're in an urban area, when your neighbor's house is actually attached to yours. Get out of the city and go tour America. There are so many resources and so much space. We are in no way hurting for resources, not just in this country, on this planet. This planet is made for man to go forth, conquer, and procreate. And I am pro-human being. I do not look at human beings as some kind of a virus or a plague on Mother Earth or whatever this hippie crap people say. Human beings are God-breathed, made for a purpose, and they are wonderful. Go forth and multiply, and that's what we should want for our fellow countrymen. My sons, obviously, I don't know what kind of a life my sons are going to have. I don't know if they're even going to have wives, right? I hope so. I've told them that. I don't know what they're going to do for a living. I don't know. I've only told them I want them to work hard. I expect them to work hard. I expect them to provide for their wives, their children. That's all I've ever said. I don't know anything, and I don't have specific goals outside of those things for them. But if you were to sit here right now and tell me my sons were each going to have, what's a huge number, 10 kids apiece, that's a gargantuan number, I wouldn't be able to stop smiling. I want them to go forth and multiply and be happy. More people are good. More babies are good. We want more people, not fewer people. And when good people reproduce, as crude and crass as it may sound, we outbreed the bad ones. That's a good thing. Let's outbreed them. Jesse. In fact, I wouldn't actually use that term when you're discussing it with your wife, though. Jesse, why do Democrats like slave labor so much? Trump says deport, and now their defense is who's going to pick our vegetables and clean hotels. And so, okay, all right. So first, we'll get to the slave labor portion of that. What you're seeing everywhere right now is just the early stage. This is the early step one of the system attempting to stop mass deportation. Remember, we've talked about it a bunch. That has been their goal for years and years and years and years and years. The only thing that holds these evil communists back from complete and total power is you, the patriotic citizen who loves your country. You are the only thing standing in their way. Democrat drones will keep voting for these dirtbags until they're all in gulags. You are the only thing standing in their way. And this goes beyond America. In Germany, their evil leaders have the same thing. These wonderful German people, patriotism in Germany have to be taken care of somehow. In England, same thing. France, same thing. All across Canada. Canada is really experiencing this. They are the most amazing freaking people in Canada. So what's their evil government want? Well, you got to figure out a way to nullify those voices. The easiest way to do that, it's just open up the border, because you bring in some barbarian from overseas, his loyalty can be bought and can be bought very, very cheaply. Do you think the dude who just got here from Honduras is going to care that they're tearing down a statue of Thomas Jefferson? He doesn't know who Thomas Jefferson is. You're the problem in their eyes. So we have to understand first that the stated goal is to open up these borders, bring these people here, and now they're desperate to keep these people here. Everything else is just a manipulation tactic. But as to your, just you're saying about slave labor, well, let's have a frank talk about slave labor before we talk about that. Let's talk about pure talk. Speaking of slave labor, American companies love, absolutely love, to outsource jobs. Why do they outsource jobs? They save money. They don't really have a lot of patriotism inside them. You want to save a little bit of money? Why not just open that call center over in India? Let's get deep, deep on the phone. Yeah, he can't understand or speak anything, but he costs a fraction as much as an American would cost. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Pure Talk hires Americans right here in America. That was the most pleasant experience in the world when I was switching from T-Mobile to Pure Talk. You never know if it's going to be a pain. It was not only easy, every time I had to get them on the phone, which was twice, every time I had to get them on the phone, I was speaking to the most pleasant American. And she always understood everything I said, and I understood what she said, and it was just like a breath of fresh air to deal with customer service like that. And you'll save a pile of money. You can get a new phone, keep your phone number, get a new number, whatever. They make it easy. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Support American businesses. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can also leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Now back to the question, why do Democrats love slave labor so much? Well, here's the ugly truth of human history. It's not just that Democrats love slave labor or communists love slave labor. Human beings love slave labor. Slavery is the tale of human history. It is remarkable. If you trace your lineage, whatever it happens to be, because everyone has family that comes from somewhere and somewhere and somewhere else. If you trace your lineage back far enough and you were to really dig into it, doesn't matter who you are, what color, religion, whatever you are, people in your past have owned slaves and people in your past have been slaves. It's almost universal. Slavery is the human experience. It's awful. And there are a variety of reasons, mostly religious reasons, why slavery began to be phased out. But before we get to that portion of it, let's backtrack from there. Before Western civilization, you know, before we have the phasing out of slavery, why was slavery so big for every society? Well, if I don't look at Chris as a human being, if I don't look at him as unique, right? If he's not equal to me in any way, if I don't feel any kind of humanity towards him, well, he's just a dog to me then. He's a cow. I was going to call him a pig, but that'd probably be offensive to Chris. You understand what I mean? Human beings, without a separate element, human beings, they're just things to be used. I marvel at slavery because of how horrific and evil it is, and I've always found the subject to be completely fascinating. Whole societies that really thrived on it. In America, here's an American version of it, not just our chattel slavery with Africans we brought here. The Apache and the Mexicans, they had a huge slave trade with each other, and they would just, this was the norm. If you were a group of Mexican bounty hunters, and you were in the Apache territory somewhere, you would see an Apache village, and if you could, you would ride in, and you would just take women and children, and you would tie them up, do terrible things to them, and you drag them down to Mexico, and then there would just be an auction. Now, have you ever been to an auction? I've been to firearms and hunting and fishing auctions before. Where I've been to silent auctions at the kids' school. Hey, buy this grill if you want. Imagine thinking it's okay to walk into an auction where they're selling off human beings. Ugh. And don't feel bad. The Apaches were doing the same thing to the Mexicans. Grab the Mexicans and sell them off in a torture. Exact same thing. But that's an American version. This is the span of time. If you were Rome, we always talk about Rome. If you were a Roman soldier and you were on a military campaign somewhere, you're with Julius Caesar up in Gaul, one of the great bonuses you could ever get was, hey, I just heard that old Julius, he's going to give all of us a slave at the end of this month. It was a major, major deal. And you could just take this slave, this human being, and you could just send him back home to your wife or send her back home to your wife. And she has to do whatever you say or they'll be tortured and killed. And the acceptance of it for most of human history is the most horrifying thing to me. How did not anyone think this was okay? Most everyone. How did most everybody think that slavery, owning another person, how did anyone think that was acceptable? Well, the truth is that unless you see something higher, unless you recognize that human beings were made by God, unless you acknowledge that, then why not? Hey, I got to tell you, I don't enjoy doing yard work that much. Why not just buy a slave? If I don't look at that human being as being a child of God, if he's just, I don't know, flesh and blood, skin, toenails, hair, well, I've got some money in my wallet. I'll just buy him. I'll make him do whatever I tell him to do, then make him sleep outside with the dogs if I feel like it. Until God started to spread through Europe and we got the Enlightenment and men started to think higher about things like this, until that really caught on a global scale, the entire course of human history is human beings owning other human beings. You ask why Democrats love slavery. Human beings love slavery. It's the whole tale of the world. It's ugly. It's terrible. You read about some sacking of some ancient city. The Ottomans take a city somewhere. And man, just hordes of men, women, and children gathered up and sold off like their bananas. And everyone just kind of thought, this is great. I hope I get one. Save one for me. Yeah, Lee. Anyway. I like thinking about these things, probably because my mind is working so well with the chalk. That's really what, Chris? That's what it is. When your mind is such a finely tuned machine like mine is now, you know there have been outside forces at work. You see, chalk's male vitality stack, it has your mind so clear. It maybe that sounds weird to you, your mind clear. I'm telling you, you will know what I mean in a month, maybe 2 months, but definitely by 3 months. You just think about things more clearly. Your focus is better and your energy is so much better. I got so sick of running out of gas at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I freaking hated it. Try something from Chalk, natural herbal supplements, even if it's just Chalk lit powder. They're having a huge holiday special the month of December. Go take advantage. Christmas special time. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, $50 bonus product on your first delivery. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Speaking of Christmas, shopping next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Also reminding you, you don't just have to send emails. You can send us a voicemail or leave us a voicemail. I guess you're not sending it as much. 877-377-4373. Let's do some of those.
Hey, Sir Nipple Splinter. I just heard you read an email from an anti-communist here in Oregon. I thought I was the only one. I don't care that she's like 25 years older than me. Can you start a dating service and set us up? We could call it Kelly's Couples. I'm a single dad, green eyes, a Pisces, and an anti-communist, and would love to meet somebody. Thank you.
I'm not setting up a dating service. Men and women keep emailing and leaving voicemails about this. I'm not doing it because of the liability of doing it. One thing goes wrong, then I end up getting sued or something like that. That's one. Two, I don't even know what a Pisces is. What's a Pisces, Chris? What does that mean? It's when he was born or something like that? What month is Pisces? What does that mean? February and March. Or why didn't he say February? Anyway, no, I'm not setting up any dating services.
Hey, Jesse, Dave in San Diego. Just wondering why we don't primary out one of these guys that you're talking about. But what if Trump takes one of them and nominates them for a position and then fires them? Is that something that is possible?
It's possible, but it's also not going to happen. And it's not going to happen really for this reason. Trump is trying to put together a team. You're trying to put together a staff when you get elected president. So you got this guy to run, you know, HHS, this guy to run this guy to run that. What you want to avoid is chaos internally. And last time Donald Trump was president, there was endless chaos internally. He didn't know what he was doing. I want to give him credit because he finally has been admitting this publicly. He had no idea what he was doing, and he hired all these scumbags and morons. And so every week we'd turn on the news and there's another firing and this guy's gone and this guy's gone and this guy ran to the news and this guy. That kind of chaos distracts majorly from the mission. You start trying to play games like this. You take John Cornyn and you make him ambassador to Italy or something like that. And then you just fire him as ambassador to Italy 2 weeks later. It would look bad for Trump. That's why. Hey, Dr. Jesse, since your wife is petite and sentimental, she said Christmas idea for your wife. Since your wife is petite and sentimental, a locket with her favorite picture of the boys is something she would treasure, and she can't be mad if you overspend on it because it's a picture of the boys. Pulling for you that she'll get your NVGs. Merry Christmas to all. And she says, all my best. She said, I can say her name. Her name is Candy. P.S. Redheads are awesome, Candy says. Not evil. Sure, Candy. That's what you all say. Sure. I like the idea of a locket. I don't know. It's crunch time now. So now I'm going to have to get something this weekend. And so this is how this normally goes. I throw the boys in the car. And we drive down to the mall and we walk in and we know that we have to embark on a gift acquiring expedition for mom. But then you get so overwhelmed and you never know. And plus, remember, maybe new listeners of the show don't remember this. I'm a famously bad gift giver. You know, as incredible as I am at ordering food, I'm the menu whisperer. I'm the greatest orderer of food on the planet. That's how bad I am at giving gifts. My wife, Ob, says it's because I'm a hyper-logical thinker, so I will buy things for people that have no sentimental value. It'll just be something that makes sense to me. For instance, it was very, very early when we were married. My wife, because she's a woman, is cold all the time. All the time. I'm cold. It's cold. Are you cold? Should I bring a sweater? My feet are cold. Can I put my feet on you? You know, it's woman stuff. And when she gets out of the shower, she's extra cold, obviously. You're naked. You're covered in water. It's a cold period of time for a woman. And, you know, because she's a woman, there are about 10 million different creams and lotions, and I don't even understand why there are so many, but there's a bunch of cream stuff and lotion stuff over there. And she was always complaining as she was putting it on, oh, that's cold. Oh, that's cold. I found a great deal on a lotion warmer. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's this little contraption, half the size of a blender, and you put your lotion in it, and it warms the lotion. Does that not make sense, Chris? Corey, are you with me? Corey, are you laughing? It's not very funny. Corey's laughing. I thought it was a great gift. Ob opens this gift on Christmas morning, and she just bursts out laughing. And it's not just that she thought it was so ridiculous and horrible and laughed. As much as she thought it was ridiculous, you have to understand, I was that sure it was going to be a home run and that she was going to love it. I was unreasonably excited for her to open up the lotion warmer. And this is not a one-off. This has happened to me time after time after time after time. When I buy people gifts, it's universally awful. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I try. Dear Shogun, I Googled the quote about quantity having a quality all its own the other day. I was planning to use it to pretend I came up with it on my own. To my horror, the quote was attributed to that piece of trash Stalin. I really wanted to use the quote and take all the credit, but I don't want to promote filth that we've been lied to. That is Napoleon's quote, my friend. Stalin may have used it. I actually didn't know Stalin had used it, but that quote belongs to Napoleon. Napoleon was a very fascinating guy, but Napoleon was one of the first guys to cobble together huge armies, armies that were way bigger than nations could normally field. Napoleon had all these quotes where he would be haggling back and forth with some leader who he was about to invade and conquer in some way. And Napoleon would say something cocky to him like, look how many guys you have. You don't have enough guys. I have this multi-nation army. It's very similar to... You ever study what Britain used to do? In World War II, actually, it's a great example, and World War I. What did they do? It's not a big country. They don't have a big army. But back then, they had different... It was an empire. They had countries all over the globe, colonies. And what they could do, what they had the power to do, and what they did do was you just call somebody up and you say, hey, India, I need 100,000 troops next month. Get on it. Thanks. Appreciate it. And so... when you can cobble together a multi-nation army, you can really create this huge juggernaut that's just very, very difficult to defeat, especially back then when we're in the era of the single-shot rifle. Granted, there was cannon and artillery, things like that, but these weapons were all single-shot. There was nothing else at that time. You know, it's muzzle loaders, really, is what it was. So if you can cobble together twice as many troops as your enemy, you're very likely going to win. And that's where Napoleon came up with that wonderful quote, quantity has a quality all its own. Now, that actually leads us to this. The Mexican cartels. They're talked about a lot. Politicians talk about them. Trump talks about them. Border people talk about them. They make movies about them. They make Netflix documentaries about them. But the Mexican drug cartels, someone wants to know, do I think we could invade North Mexico and wipe out the cartels? Let's do a little cartel talk, just a little brief history on this, and we'll talk about that specifically next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you want to email love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for next week, or I guess still tonight, we still have another hour, you can email all those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So this guy's subject line is bomb the cartels. Jesse Kahn, famous military tactician. Do you think we could invade northern Mexico and wipe out the cartels? Okay, so I'm going to do the best I can do in a few minutes to give us a little bit of background here and hopefully understand this issue a little bit better. Mexico. How much do you know about the liberation of Mexico? First, you have to understand, which you probably do, it was conquered by the Spanish. One of the great tales in human history, Hernan Cortez brings a bunch of troops in, takes out the Aztecs. It's a wonderful tale. It's an amazing tale. Bravery, horror. It's got everything you could want in it. Okay, so anyway, Spain takes over Mexico. Spain administers Mexico. Well, if you ever seen Zorro, it's actually a great example of this. You ever saw Zorro? Chris, is that before your time, I'm assuming? Even one of the movies? Okay, you've seen clips. What was going on then? Well, there were lords. When Spain was administering Mexico, there were lords, Spanish lords, that would rule an area. But just with an iron fist, as much as you could expect. It was just that way. They ruled what they said went. That's how Spain did most of its conquering and governing when Spain went abroad. So you'd have a state here. Here's a governor, but he's essentially a feudal lord. He's going to be god there. And they would really pillage the people pretty terribly, abuse the people, and then hoover up a bunch of money and resources for themselves and send some back home to the Spanish crown. Now, it's a long, complicated history that I'm fast-forwarding through, but there's revolutions and rebellions and revolutions and rebellions, and soon Spain gets to a place where Spain can't hold on to Mexico anymore. So they essentially just let Mexico go. But this is the thing about human beings and conquest and things like that. Sometimes what people know, they can't get out of, and they just continue what they've always known. Once Spain got out of Mexico, Mexico really could never seem to get out of that feudal way of thinking, where you would have a feudal lord, a governor that would rule over things, and they never got out of the corruption that came with the bribery and the Spanish, and that it was just kind of how it worked so much there. Now, let's pause on Mexico. This will get to the cartels. Let's rewind a little bit. Before the Mexican cartels got really big, there were the Colombian cartels. They still exist. You know, the Pablo Escobars and Ochoa brothers and the think cocaine, Colombia, Miami, Colombia. You got all this, okay? What was happening? They were bringing in vast quantities of cocaine into the United States of America. They were bringing it in through New York. Mainly, they were bringing it in through Miami, somewhere along southern Florida. It was a vast operation. There's all kinds of fascinating things about how they did that. The American government realized they had a huge problem on their hands with the cocaine, with drugs, with the cartels. And the American government declared war on these Colombian cartels. Do you really believe the Colombians were the ones who pulled the trigger when Pablo Escobar died? Hint, hint, wink, wink, they weren't. We don't have to go into that story right now. We were intimately involved. In fact, here's a good book for you. You want a good book on it? Killing Pablo is the name of the book. Two more times, as always, this way you don't email me and ask me the name of the book. Killing Pablo is the name of the book. One more time, so I don't get any emails. The name of the book is Killing Pablo by Mark Bowden. But that doesn't matter. Killing Pablo is the name of the book. Anyway, U.S. government cracks down on the Colombian cartels. The Colombian cartels are tired of having shipments seized. They're tired of trying to fight through America to get into southern Florida. And they decide they would rather go the land route. Meaning you already had these smaller, much less powerful criminal cartels, we'll call them cartels, in Mexico, much less powerful, dealing in weed and things like that, but they could get across the border. The Colombian cartels and the Mexican cartels chose to join forces, and it still works this way to this day, although the cartels, the Mexican ones, do a lot of this stuff themselves, but the Colombians said to the Mexicans, hey, we'll give you obviously a cut of the profits, but you take all this cocaine and you transport it for us. You get it into America. You go. The Mexican cartels became the middleman. We'll get your cocaine from Colombia into America. That prompted the explosion of the Mexican drug cartels, or as our friend Grandin Darby would call them, transnational criminal organizations. They attempted very early on under Felix Gallardo, I won't go into all the detail of it, they attempted early on to unite all of the Mexican cartels so they could all be under one gigantic umbrella, which would have meant more profit, it would have meant less violence, it really would have worked out for the best for all of them. But it's very, very difficult to unite thieves and murderers and criminals. It's difficult to unite people who get along for long periods of time, let alone people who are used to killing their way out of problems, bribing their way out of problems, drug dealers, bandits, thieves, smugglers. This is a difficult group of people to bring together. They tried to get a big federation going, and they did for about 5 minutes. And then the federation crumbled. Now, it's an extremely regional thing. Mexico has states, just like we have states. We talk about Mexico as if it's just one big thing, but there are states. Roughly half of the states in Mexico are governed, they are administered by the drug cartels themselves. Now, remember that talk we had at the very beginning of this segment about Mexico's feudal system, where you have one guy that would rule over everything? It's very much the same system today. Only the guy who's ruling everything is no longer a Spanish lord who's the nephew of the king. Now, he's the guy who runs the criminal organization that hails from that area. So let's talk about invading northern Mexico. Before we get to that, let's talk about saving you a pile of money at GovX. On what? Well, if you're current former military, current former first responder, current former educator, you qualify for a free membership on something called GovX, govx.com. It has endless products, over 1,000 retailers. You want Ray-Ban shades, a Yeti cooler, you want to buy some concert tickets, want to hit up the ball game, and you want huge discounts on all this stuff. You want to go on a cruise, you need a knee sleeve, a new pen. GovX.com is your first shop. First stop, I mean. No matter what you're shopping for, you will go to GovX first. It is officially the most viewed website on my phone. I looked it up. It's the one I go to the most of any. GovX.com. Huge discounts. Take advantage of that. You get a free membership. And when you use the promo code Jesse, you get $15 off your first purchase. GovX.com. Promo code Jesse. All right? Now let's discuss this Mexican invasion. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.